Super Gamecast 64, episode 114. It's that good, good holiday Halloween special. And on this spookiest of specials, we got some crazy horror game announcements, we got some contests, tons of new game releases, and so much more. Are you boys ready for the spooky season?
Yeah, I can't wait for you to play the ghost sound effects throughout the entirety of this episode.
No, please, Kevin. I have like
the
a
whole
I have,
thing just
I have,
backtrack of just ooh.
I have like a 5-hour edit here window. Yeah. All right, ghosts do the whole thing.
It's okay.
It's all right.
I will just do it. I won't talk.
Tyler, you hit the DJ, because last time it was weird when I did it.
D.
Somebody turned off Tyler.
Jay, hey, what's up, guys? It's me. I'm your host, Matt. Oh, whoa, this is all out of order. Super Gamecast 64. It's a video game show. It's also a comedy show, and today, it's the spookiest of shows. I'm your host, Matt. With me, as always, we got...
It's me, Skevinton.
Skevinton. That's like Kevin plus a skeleton.
Yep.
I guess I'm...
Bat.
Bat. I'm like Matt, but also Batman, because I got that costume.
Matt Bat.
Matt Bat.
Bat Matt.
And that over there is...
I'm not sure.
He's trying to think of a clever thing.
Yeah, I'm not... You guys are surprised.
For whatever reason,
one.
My brain automatically mixed up the word Tyler and mummy, and I came up with tummy.
That's fantastic.
We got,
I love it.
We got Skeveton, we got Mabat, and we got tummy.
No, it's just bad.
Tummy.
Just bad.
We are blowing out levels. I'm going to do an on-the-fly lower of the level here before we get into the festivities. Guys, I hope your ears are feeling better. You know what they said to me, Matt? They said, you have such a great Spooktober season.
And you said, what? I'm not Matt. I'm Bat.
I'm Bat. You don't Matt know Bat. Me right now. I'm a different creature in this kind of weekend or week. Halloween week. People are saying, Matt, you had all these great, great bits on previous Halloween specials, but you haven't brought the spooks yet. And so here we are with this Halloween day. We are going to bring back the best award show I think that we have ever done since the Super Gamecast 64 Video Game Awards that weren't the Spike TV Video Game Awards. It's the costume of the year. Also, I'm raising the level recording a teeny bit more now, because now I feel like we're too quiet. Costume of the year. If you don't know what costume of the year is, guys, we did this 2016, right?
Yeah.
I think we did Best Pirate, Best Ghost, Best Ninja, you know, the classic costumes.
Right.
And I think we should maybe turn it up on the violence, on the horror this year.
Yeah.
Tyler had a great idea. Mm-hmm. Tyler said, let's do slashers.
Yeah.
You know, slasher films. You guys love all of them. So let's start category one. This is kind of like a faux award show. We're just going to have the nominees. And then it's really up to you as the viewer, listener, to decide who you want to win. It's your own headcanon. Whoever the best nominee you think is, that's who won for the year. It's up to you. There's nothing official. So first category is best slasher. When you think slasher, you know the great names that come to mind. They've been slashing all over the movie history, back and forth through time. So best slasher of Halloween 2018. That doesn't necessarily even have to be from Halloween 2018. I'm gonna start. Okay, this is gonna be a weird one, but follow me. Do you guys know Food on YouTube?
Yeah, I've seen a Food.
Have you ever heard of the guy who makes the pop culture foods?
Babish?
Yeah. I'm nominating him because his knife skills are out of this world. Top slasher Babish. Binging with Babish.
Out of the box.
Well,
I
like to break the norm. Does anybody else have a best slasher for costume? Now, here's the thing. It's not really the costume. It's more of like what the costume you're wearing as a person is. It's not the clothes you are, but the thing that you inhabit. A costume is like a mask, and we all wear masks, so best slasher Binging with Babish, that's Matt Owen recommendation. We got any others from Kevin? Tyler? You guys want to enter, put your name in the hat there, Harry Potter?
I mean, like, the slasher that always comes to my mind is that guy with the hockey mask, I mean...
Yes. No, I know 100% who you're talking about. We're on the same wavelength. he has a big tool that he uses in his hand, right?
Yeah, you got it. You got it. And
icy. It's like an icy environment he's in.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Very
exactly.
Cold.
See?
Very cold.
Very cold. Mm-hmm. Indeed.
He's huge,
very cold.
Too, right?
oh, boy.
It's almost like really bulky, you know, like real big.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
What's his name's right there. Tyler, help me.
Wayne Gretzky.
Okay, yeah. Wayne Gretzky for the Red Wings. Everyone loves the Red Wings. Even if you don't play hockey, you probably love the Red Wings. guys, Wayne Gretzky, also, who did I say? Binging with Babish. Kevin, can you bring it
easy,
home?
Easy.
Easy money.
The Walmart smiley face.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
Always slashing those prices, baby. That's
it's
in,
fucking
you know,
criminal.
You know what? The best time...
Those deals.
Should be illegal. The best time to buy Halloween candy is actually the day. Fun Halloween fact one. If you buy candy the day after Halloween, it's really on sale. Got
it's
it.
Super wait, easy wait, to wait, get wait. Diabetes.
you know in those movies when they open the medicine cabinet and
yes.
you know someone's going to be behind them when they close that medicine
cabinet? Yeah.
You know who completely...
It's the fucking Walmart face.
Ignores that? Well, I mean, you open the cabinet.
Yep.
The MyPillow guy is on the other side. That's my last nominee.
I'm now realizing God. That we didn't have my any pillow. That were actually horrifying.
Are you kidding
MyPillow
me?
MyPillow guy is scary as
no,
fuck.
No, you're
have
right.
Have you seen that mustache?
Okay, so that's your first one. Following with the horror movie trend, here's the thing. Okay, I don't feel like we've really zoned in on the horror movie trend. Tyler, best slashers. So not really a slasher here, but... You guys, I was just watching a film series to get into the Halloween spirit. So let's see if you guys can do this one. It is the best man who makes traps. This real easy. And you know what? I'm going to give the obvious one to start. Best man who makes traps is going to go to the guy in Red Dead Redemption who keeps making the traps that all these strangers get their foots caught in. Because let me tell
or
you,
kills the horses that
there is so people. Many people who have an issue with traps that they've stumbled upon, usually their legs.
I'm not going to lie to you, Bat. I thought you were going to say saw.
You thought I was going to say the saw?
Yeah, saw.
I'm going to change mine. Well, no, we can have two. We can have two. So okay. First is guy who makes the traps in Red Dead Redemption 2. More
yep.
on that later.
The trapper.
The trapper. Shit, that was way better. Kevin should have just taken that one. All right, so the trapper in Red Dead. We'll explain what he can do later on when we talk about Red Dead. The Saw, you know him. He's the guy who's...
Right. I think it's just Saw. It's not like the Ohio State University thing.
Yeah,
it's just Saw.
You guys up for a board game? That's the Saw guy. Yeah. We got to have a ringer here.
I got one.
Okay. This is. Make sure it's from, you know, a horrifying film.
Yeah, for sure.
I take it back.
Okay. That's fine.
But I want to... Dr. Wily.
Oh.
The robot. That's a good one. I feel like there's still like a really, really. Sawman is good man. You know he can make the traps that make you craps. You see those bodies break and those bones crumble and you think, man, that guy has some issues. But sometimes the traps are from above.
In your life, you liked to go to Walmart after Halloween to buy a lot of candy. Well, now you got to eat this tub of Reese's peanut butter.
Or your fingers will get chopped off. Want to play a little game?
Better drown in peanut butter.
Kevin McAllister from Home Alone.
That was mine.
Is that number four?
Yes. I was waiting for Kevin to come in with it. Here's actually a better idea for this. I think Costume of the Year is a good bit. It went about 8 minutes. Here's a better thing. I just want to leave everyone with this idea. What if Kevin McAllister... Who do you think would win? Kevin McAllister in a Jigsaw trap or Jigsaw in a Kevin McAllister created house? Now, first off, Kevin McAllister is a young boy. He's fast, very agile. He doesn't have the wits of an older man. Second thing, though, Jigsaw, old guy, depending on time frame, might have cancer, bedridden.
Probably
can't really
dead.
He would maybe even die before he got in the door, depending okay. on the Saw movie we're talking
like,
about.
Depending on the Home Alone movie
yeah,
we're
well,
talking
how long
about.
Does Kevin have to prepare?
What if it was the... Who do you think would win in a fight? Kevin McAllister or, like, discount Kevin McAllister for Home Alone 3?
Kevin McAllister.
Yeah.
Now, what if all of the boys from Home Alone had to be in a Saw trap? I think that would be illegal. Guys, do you want to talk about video games?
Sort of. I kind of want to talk about this Jigsaw thing with the Kevin McAllister.
Yeah. Maybe we should just End the GameCast and just who can beat Kevin McAllister.
Yeah, next week we'll in-depth discussion of Death Battle from ScrewAttack.com, Jigsaw versus Kevin McAllister versus real life Macaulay Culkin at the age he's at now in 22.
Looks cracked out.
No, he don't say that about Macaulay. He had a
Let's find out.
Wasn't he wearing a shirt with a picture of somebody else wearing a Gosling shirt of him? That's the greatest thing. You've never seen that Macaulay Culkin Ryan Gosling shirt. Throw that string of
how fucking whacked is the name Macaulay though? I mean,
I don't know. The Culkins are weird people, man, but they're very, very rich.
Kieran
McCulkin.
Kieran's actually kind of normal.
Kieran McCulkin.
That's
is that what you said?
Kieran McCulkin.
That sounds like a euphemism for beating off.
Guys, speaking of beating off, let's talk about re-releases on the Switch. You guys, re-releases on the Switch are so common, you might be saying, Matt, how are you going to make this spooky? I didn't even have to. You guys know Capcom?
Yes.
Capsule Computer, yeah.
Yeah, Capcom, they make the fighters, they make the shooters, they make the puzzle fighters, and they also make a little series called Resident Evil. It's a story of a boy and a girl who find a zombie virus and then lots of games and shooting. You can get a select few of those titles on the Nintendo Switch coming soon, I believe 2019, or late 2018, but I'm pretty sure this is a 2019 thing. Resident Evil 0, Resident Evil 1, and Resident Evil 4 will be coming to the Nintendo Switch.
What happened to 2 and 3?
Well, 2 is getting the remake, and we still haven't seen a Resident Evil 2 re-release yet. I think it was because they were making the remake. They didn't want you to be like, here, here's a remaster, and then a remake right after. But yeah, you know, I always want Nemesis too.
Why don't they just evict the evil?
Vic the evil.
No, evict.
Evict the evil. Because the residents, they don't have to be dead. And they don't have to be evil either.
But the resident is evil.
What about...
Just evict the evil.
What do you call...
Your rent's late again.
Resident assistant evil.
It's all in a college.
Bully 2. Guys, I just... Bully 2
what
has been...
What about President Evil?
President Evil. Damn! The Purge 3. All right, we can't talk about that. That's another horrifying thing upon itself. But if you want to get horrified next year early and you don't have a modern Xbox One or PlayStation 4 to get the Resident Evil 2 remake, you can get either Resident Evil 0, that's the train one with the criminals, Resident Evil 1, which is the Spencer Mansion one, or Resident Evil 4, which is the over-the-shoulder Leon shooting people with bags on their head and Chainsaw Men one.
What if Resident Evil Zero was just a game where you
made Resident Evil?
You played one of the board members that was like, all right, so follow me here. There's this company. It's called Umbrella. And they're like, what?
What are you talking about?
Umbrella?
That's not Ella.
Raccoon City. And they're like, why not like a Possum City or something like that?
And if you only win the game if you make it to the level where you get to remaster every game you've already made instead of making new ones. Resident Evil 7 was pretty good, guys. I'm not going to say that it's bad. Speaking of games that are more spooky, like Resident Evil 7, that first person kind of weird thing, we're keeping the news scary, guys, because it's Halloween. You remember that game about that painter man? You went to his house and he died because he was making his magnum opus, and then his house was all like... Whoa, spooky trippy.
Mario Paint.
Yes, dude, thank you. I forgot about that one. With Kirby. The keyboard attachment. Kirby Paint.
Kirby Paint Crystal Shards?
I feel like,
Kirby
yeah.
Kirby has a paint move. It's a paint.
Yeah, no. Okay, better question. Who hasn't wielded a paintbrush? Because like Mickey's wielded... No, he
no,
wielded
that's
one.
Not true Okami. At all.
No. These are all the opposite of what I asked.
Bob Ross.
Oh, you know what? Bob Ross,
Bob
he
Ross
wins.
Uses like a little like...
Bob Ross erased himself, okay? I will show you.
He uses, like, a putty knife, not a brush.
He uses a brush. He uses several brushes.
Wait.
His head?
Wait.
That, too.
Can we go back? How did Bob Ross delete himself? Erase himself?
He erased himself with a brush.
Oh, okay, he's pulling up his phone. I don't need to see the Reddit r/conspiracies that aren't conspiracies. Layers of Fear 2 is what I was alluding to. No, please, I want to see the Bob Ross conspiracy. Throw that to me. I need that hot DMs, but please, do it incognito. We don't need the NCIS watching us.
We're not doing that, like... Thank God, we're good.
We don't need the NCIS. Guys, Layers of Fear 2. Layers of Fear 1, it was a walking sim game. No combat, really. But you explored this house of this painter who had gone mad trying to create his magnum opus. And the thing that made Layers of Fear really cool and really spooky was it would mess with your brain. So you'd like enter a room, look through a window. Yeah, there's no way out of this room. Turn around and the door you just come through is now gone. And there's a hallway there. You know, the map would evolve around you. You never knew. It was like the Winchester Mystery House. You know, tons of secret entrances and a lot of trippy stuff.
Good get, man. Good get.
Yeah, it was a fun time. I played both that game and the expansion. It released on Switch as well, I think, to some pretty decent sales. So Layers of Fear 2 was announced. No release date, not a lot of gameplay or anything like that, but it looks creepy. It's one of those teaser trailers, so you can't really figure out too much stuff from it. Okay, I'm watching Bob Ross throw a giant paintbrush off screen.
Well, he watches that. I just want to talk about the...
Oh, my God!
Oh, no.
He's literally erasing himself.
Season 29, episode 1 of Bob Ross's Joy Island of Painting.
Island in the Wilderness.
Island in the Wilderness is the episode title. You can watch it.
I thought you were talking about the game Layers of Tear, which is a game in which you investigate a haunted bakery.
Yeah. And the thing is that you know it's haunted because every time you order a dozen, the baker still puts his baker's dozen in there.
And when you win, the ghost of Paul Hollywood comes up to you and shakes your hand.
Paul Hollywood.
Why didn't he call himself Pollywood?
Because Hollywood wasn't British. Invented yet.
Oh, fair.
Paul Hollywood, father of Hollywood.
That's a great British Bake Off reference for those of you playing along at home.
I didn't.
Speaking of Hollywood, California had TwitchCon. Okay, you guys know Twitch, right?
Yes.
You're sitting there.
Yeah, the rat from League of Legends.
Close. You're sitting there. You just whoop, and then you got it. You got the muscle spasm. That's a muscular Twitch. This is the Twitch streaming platform. It's where boys and girls and men's and women's and all ages go on the internet to show themselves playing video games, and other people give them money to watch them play video games, form their communities. It's been a rising profession and a rising art form, some would say, over the past few years. You all know what streaming is, and TwitchCon is a celebration of the Twitch streaming platform. I'm not here to talk about TwitchCon. It looked cool. It looked fun. It looked like people, you know, the Twitch streamers I know were having a good time drinking, going to bars, going to after parties. I heard Ninja
had they stream the whole thing.
I bet. You know what? That's the weird thing is because now Twitch.
Yo, what's up, guys? It's me. I'm taking a dump. Don't forget to smash that like button.
Hit that bell. That's YouTube. Sorry. But the thing is that now they allow IRL, in quotation, you know, in real life streaming on Twitch. So I wouldn't be surprised if a large amount of TwitchCon is available to watch in Twitch VODs.
What's up, guys? It's me again. I'm going to bed. So give me like 8 hours. I'll be right back. Just watch me sleep, I guess.
And then, like, you know, 4 hours in of him sleeping, there's just a big alarm. It's like, thanks, Blazemaster 420 for the 6 bits. He wakes up in a cold sweat. Oh, it never ends. So at TwitchCon, they did this fun thing. You guys know I like the games done quick, right? These are the week-long speedrun marathons. They raise money for either Doctors Without Borders or the Prevent Cancer Foundation. These events are twice a year. Well, this year, they decided to use TwitchCon. All the streamers were in one place for the most part. They did a mini games done quick. It was just Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and they were raising money for 10 different charities. You had Able Gamers, Make-A-Wish, literally like every video game or children's charity you can think of was pretty much you could donate towards. Tons of really cool games. I don't know what the final tally was. I believe it was over 100,000, which is really good for just one weekend, especially when not a lot of people knew it was happening. But the thing I wanted to say is, if you like speedruns and you missed it for any reason, you can go to their VODs and watch, you know, the whole thing. I think it's 48 hours, 50 hours of content. But there were a few really, really cool ones I wanted to point out specifically to YouTube boys here. I loved a bunch of them. If you don't know where to start, if you like first-person shooters, check out Titanfall 2. I saw a speedrun of that, and it's probably one of the most impressive speedruns I've seen since Doom 2016, just in how fast you go. Titanfall 2, if you've played it, you know there's a lot of wall running, right, boys?
Yeah, a lot of robot throwing.
Yeah. Okay. What I didn't know is that Titanfall 2 is actually based on a modified version of the Source engine, which is what Half-Life runs on. And if you've ever seen like a Half-Life or a Counter-Strike, you can do those air... There's a lot of really weird movement mechanics you can do to make your guy gain speed. When you combine those with these wall running things they can do, it's visually, it looks like if you turn the game to 5x speed, and then imagine the guy playing with like the highest sensitivity ever, it's the levels just fly by you. If you take that and then combine it with some of the later game mechanics, like Titanfall 2 has a level, small spoilers for Titanfall 2, where you can go back and forth through time by pressing a button. seeing that level done in like under 2 minutes is the craziest visual thing I have ever seen. But Kevin, I told you about it earlier, but I think everyone else should hear about it too. Castlevania Symphony of the Night, great game. One of Kevin's favorites, right,
Yep.
Kev?
Yep.
Top tier.
Yep.
Spooky too, because it's got Dracula.
It does. And Beth.
Dracula all spelled weird too.
Zombies and stuff.
Darkula.
Darkula. Dr. Acula.
Elkillard.
That they had a guy. Hour and 20 minutes was his final time. He did it blindfolded. I love blindfolded runs because they're so impressive, and I've seen quite a few of them. Punch-Out, Mario, Zelda, there's a few, but I've never seen a Castlevania one. And then that was really cool. But Tyler, there was like 3 or 4 Mega Man races that were ridiculously close. Mega Man 5 was insane. Mega Man X2 was literally, for the whole run, I think they were within 5 seconds of each other. There was a Mega Man X 100% run that was really, really well done. And I believe there was also a Mega Man 9 or 10. It was 9 or 10. I think 9. 9 has Splash Woman, right?
Yes.
Okay, the 9 run was literally all the Mega Man runs you should watch. You would particularly like the 5 run and I think the X2 race. Those are both races. But there was tons of stuff. You guys like Super Mario 64? You got those races. Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time? You got the 3DS version of that. Tons of cool stuff. So check it out. That was a GDQ Express. You can see it on their video on demand on Twitch. With that said...
That was TwitchCon, right?
Yeah, it was at TwitchCon.
So TwitchCon has nothing to do with the Botendo Twitch that some guy sold me over the weekend?
A Botendo Switch.
Yeah.
That
was like an unveiling of a new...
Does it look oddly like a Sega Game Gear with some spray paint on it?
How heavy is it?
It does smell like spray paint.
I have some rough news for you, bud. The Botendo Switch was actually canceled 5 years ago.
Have fun. I gotta go get my $300 back.
All right. Well, while Kevin's doing... That's a whole other spooky thing. Everyone knows that fraud is scary. Shouts out Elon Musk. And we also know that bootlegs are scary. Shouts out guy who sold him the Botendo Switch. You're not going to be able to get Super Bash Brothers on that.
It was Botendo Twitch?
Oh, Botendo Twitch. My bad. But you know what? Botendo, little known fact, actually changed their name to Nintendo back in like the 1800s when they're making card games.
Not to be confused with Nintendo's son Borutendo.
Not to be confused with Gotendo, which is something that every parent thought was a thing every year I worked at GameStop. Gotendo, Playbox. We can do that. That's a whole other horrifying thing that I have in my memory. But Nintendo. Segway, scary things in Nintendo, scary Luigi's Mansion 3DS,
super scary.
Did you like that Segway, boys? I'm just here to tell you once again that Luigi's Mansion is a fantastic game. It's one of the best games, and it's really good for people who don't like actually scary stuff but want to get in the spirit of the Halloween. Luigi's Mansion, Luigi goes to a mansion.
Wait,
Tyler, yeah, that's you, bud.
Luigi's Mansion was terrifying.
Look, how old were you when you first played it? Because it was aimed at children's. So it might have been terrifying for you. But Tyler, if you get scared of Luigi's Mansion at the age you're at now, I'm going to tickle you, you little girl. Luigi's Mansion, it's a cute game. You guys have played it. It came on GameCube, for Christ's sake. What I want to say is that the remake, the graphics look nice. The 3D effect is pretty cool. The only issue I have with it is, you guys know on GameCube you have a second analog stick, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You tilt your vacuum up and down.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is done with gyro controls, which makes bosses like King Boo really difficult. My partner, she just... started playing it. She hated it for like the first, you know, 5 to 10 or first like 20 to 30 minutes because of those gyro controls.
I gotta get real here for a second.
Yes.
The
real world.
Let's pretend for a second that literally anyone at any game studio listens to this.
Yeah.
Stop using gyro controls. Nobody likes them.
Look, the only reason I didn't give Super Mario Odyssey a 10 was because of forced motion controls. You guys think that we liked motion controls when we're like, look at the tennis ball game.
Ah, wow, everybody's going to stand and use the Wiimotes the way they're supposed to. It's going to make gamers healthy. It didn't work.
If you're going to have gyro controls, you should offer a substitute that doesn't involve me having to buy that extra analog stick attachment for the 3DS that no one uses. Also, I don't have a new 3DS XL with a little,
just
like, knob.
Just tape a fucking N64 controller to your Switch.
This is on Switch. This is on 3DS.
Whatever. To your dick.
I don't care. Yes, I agree. Lose the gyro controls, or if you're going to do it in a game like Super Mario Odyssey, offer a substitute Tyler,
you know what we need?
I can't wait to hear this.
We need that thing that you attach to the bottom of your GameCube back. The thing that lets you play the Game Boy Advance games with a GameCube controller.
Yes.
You went Super Nintendo, Super Game Boy. You went GameCube, you went...
Super GameCube.
Super GameCube Boy.
But then Nintendo accidentally made a system where you use a TV remote to control it. So how do you really...
Super Cube Boy.
Super Wii.
Wii U.
That literally Wii U.
Fisher-Price Wii. They literally did a bad job.
Okay, well, we don't... Yeah, I mean, no one's going to argue there that maybe Nintendo made a goof or two along the last five,
I'm
six
saying
years.
The next iteration of the Switch should play 3DS games.
Super 3DS Switch. Well, I mean, there is a rumor of the Switch 2.0 coming out sometime early next year. Or the
Switch. Oh, yeah, 4K Switch.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah, it's a real thing.
Yeah.
4K Switch.
It's going to be like $500?
Something like that.
Okay, well, I just hear... Okay, 4K Switch. You heard it first on the Halloween show. We'll see more of that after the holidays, I'm sure. Do we know, does Nintendo actually have any directs left this year?
Yeah, they're going to announce a Nintendo Cube Boy.
No, there has to be one direct because they have to announce Waluigi for Smash. Otherwise, you know, it's over. Sorry, Nintendo, you're out of the game, guys. You'll be the Dreamcast of 2018.
You're going to go back to making playing cards.
Hey, and they were actually successful when they did that. Luigi's Mansion 3DS, like I said, kind of poo-pooed the gyro controls. I like the 3D. I like the remade graphics. What I also really like more is... You know, when you beat Luigi's Mansion, you get to go to the Secret Mansion, which is just a new
it's
game
the
plus.
Upside Down Mansion.
No, that's Castlevania. Oh, okay. It would have actually been cooler if it was an upside down.
Oh man, that'd be
cool.
And your fucking gyro controls are inverted.
Oh yeah,
that's scarier.
And then it just there's a big in Luigi's Mansion font just comes up and says "fuck you" from Nintendo. No,
doesn't this suck?
How scary are these controls?
Get it? Because of vacuum.
You gotta pat yourself. I'll pat you on the back for that one, Kevin. But the Secret Mansion this time around is much more difficult. So if you are a fan of the game already and you wanted to play that, you want maybe a bit of a more challenge. The Secret Mansion is much harder this time around. So Luigi's Mansion 2 or 3DS, great time. Thank you, Tyler says Super Smash Bros. Ultimate final Nintendo Direct for 2018 will be the 1st of November. That will be the day after you're hearing this. If you're hearing this on the day it came out.
Get ready optimally. For Waluigi.
Yeah, we would hope. It better be Waluigi. Waluigi is the most hyped thing since sliced bread. Waluigi is the most hyped thing since the wheel.
There are people all over the Dragalia Lost subreddit losing their minds, like, thinking that Nintendo is going to add one of the characters from that to Smash.
That wouldn't be a bad idea.
They could do, like, the Mii setup. Like, you can make your own. Like, you could pick your costume. As long as you picked sword, you could be any one of the sword users.
Dude, I did enjoy that.
I'd be okay
that.
With that.
I would too. but like, there are still much better things you could do.
Oh yeah,
we'll find out November 1st. Hopefully, as long as there's no earthquakes. Red Dead Redemption 2. Let's talk about this, but not for too long, Kevin, because this
Red Ed and Eddie.
That was not the theme song. Okay, Red Dead Redemption 2 is the most hyped. Open world game this side of Grand Theft Auto 5, a hype that only Rockstar could build up. It's a prequel to the original Red Dead Redemption. Tells us the story of the Vanderlinde gang. They are a group of outlaws somewhere in the Midwest at the turn of the century. You play as Arthur Morgan, kind of the right hand man, one of the founding fathers of this gang of outlaws, as you try to make your way and survive in this ever civilized world. One of the most hyped games, open world games. I just recently beat the first Red Dead Redemption, and I thought that one was slow. I always... people boost up the first Red Dead, and I say, hey, you know, it's a good Rockstar game, but it's not my favorite. I like Bully a lot more than I like Red Dead. Red Dead is a very hyper-focused narrative kind of game, and it has been. But when I started Red Dead 2, I was like, let's see. They did a lot of crazy stuff with GTA. There's a lot of crazy features here. And both me and Kevin... And now that I've talked to pretty much every person who's played this game has had the same complaint... Kevin, what's the biggest issue with Red Dead up front?
I think I actually read a tweet earlier today by Justin McElroy, who said that the first like hour of Red Dead is like books level boring.
Yeah.
It's so hard to get through. Like, you beat your head against this tutorial and then it doesn't really end. Like, you're still on a pretty linear path, which is fine. It's okay. But, like, you get the notion right off the bat that this world is open to you and you can do whatever you want. And you really, you kind of can. It's hard to see where the boundaries are, I think, is what it comes down to.
The thing is I've heard a lot of people likening it to the anti, like I saw a Kotaku article, I think it was the anti-Ubisoft. You know, Ubisoft is all about checklists and boxes and knowing where things are on the map, even though Assassin's Creed Odyssey, we'll talk about that in a little bit, has a new feature where it can remove all that. Red Dead is a game that is two things. I think one of them is very well done, and the other one is decently well done, but it affects the first one. So, on one hand, Red Dead Redemption 2 is incredibly impressive as far as the craftsmanship goes.
Technically speaking, it's...
Everything looks beautiful. There is an insane amount of detail, sometime to its detriment, but more so, and Kevin, I feel like you'll probably agree with me on this, everything feels wildly organic. This feels like a world that you have entered.
Yes.
You don't have agency over the whole world. You cannot dominate the world of Red Dead. You can simply maybe influence it along the way.
And you're a part of it. Things get dirty. Things break. There are circumstances beyond your control that occur that make it feel like you are inhabiting this world. You don't control it.
But on the flip side, it's a game that is deeply baked with a number of systems and mechanics, meters. Just real quick, instead of having a health meter, a stamina meter, and a deadeye meter like you did in the past, you have three circular things that also have what's called a core. Basically, what they did is they take your hunger, your health, your stamina, your ability to run, I guess your overall health, and they mix it all into like these little bars that you have to fill and maintain by doing San Andreas-like things, you know, eating, working out, making sure you're clean. And they present them up front in a way that feels like, hey, this is a thing you gotta do. You have to hunt and bring back stuff for your camp because you have the camp of the other outlaws that you have to provide for. You know, you have to do these missions. You have to donate money to the camp. They front-load the game. And although it goes slow and introduces you over time, they front load the game with so many mechanics that you think you're going to have to remember everything.
Yeah.
And it feels like this is a lot of info. Last night, I'm maybe 20 hours in the game. I did my third or fourth mission where I ended up fishing with somebody. There was still a tooltip on how to equip my fishing rod, what fishing bait to equip for the fish I was trying to catch. The point is the game is insanely linear when it comes down to the missions. You have morality things here and there, but at the end of the day, what I told Kevin was Red Dead is way easier when you just stop trying to explore and do the things you would want to do in an open world game and let it take you through its narrative. Oftentimes you're searching for a feature that isn't revealed to you yet because they don't want you to have it yet. And as a gamer, you're looking for things like fast travel. That would make a lot of sense. You know, let me just jump to a town. How do I get rid of my bounty? And they're deeply baked in these systems. And some of them, like I said, you can't even fix until you've put another 5 hours in the story, Kevin.
You get to this point where you have no other... you have no other recourse but to deal with a bounty, a pre-existing bounty. And I won't go into detail as to why, because that's spoiler territory.
We're avoiding all spoilers.
But you haven't been taught what to do about the bounty. If you have, it's been very brief, but you really haven't encountered the resolution to that particular mechanic. And the problem is, that mechanic is preventing you from progressing on the next step of that linear storyline that kind of is supposed to get you out of tutorial town, basically. Or so I presume. I'm not that far yet. The other thing I really take a lot of issue with is the morality meter. What it comes down to is you have these like these white hat actions and these black hat actions, kind of like
it was in the original Red Dead, but it didn't really make a difference.
I don't like it because as you play through the story, you're doing all these asshole things. You're doing these terrible fucking things.
Yeah.
But then when you do them, nothing happens when you do them for the sake of the story. But when you do them in your open world exploration, you get bad points or you get good points. Like, I get good points for going, howdy, partner, as I'm riding by some jackwagon on his fucking horse.
Like, there's missions where they'll let you literally kill 40, 50 people in a row.
Like, and, sheriffs or something. Like, something ridiculous like that.
And then in free roam, if you're too early in the game and you, like, sneeze in the wrong direction of a sheriff, it's just like, oh, there goes all of your stuff.
And the other problem I had, here's a brief thing. I killed a couple pigs. And I got bad points for it.
Yeah, you don't know what's going to raise your morality and what's going to lower
it. And, like, the other thing is the button layout, I have a real love-hate relationship with it. If you hold the left trigger, that's like your focus. So that's either aim your gun, focus on a person, aim your lasso, whatever the thing is.
You zoom in on someone like you're aiming at them with a gun.
Basically. But if you have a gun out,
you pull
your gun on somebody. And I didn't mean to. And the guy was like, oh, well, I'm just going to blow your brains out. And I'm like, haha, not so fast. And I dead-eyed him, and I killed him. And then it's like, well, now you're wanted for murder. I'm like, this is not something I want.
And then if someone sees that they're a witness, you have to chase them down, either kill them and get more bad points.
Usually just hog time.
Or, well, you could stop. Like, if someone's running away, they can witness it. You can stop them and be like, hey, you didn't see this, or pay him off, or bribe him. The issue is that there's so many systems that make they push the game towards realism, and the game, it feels like a Rockstar game to control. It's a little bit clunky. When you're riding a horse, you're not controlling the horse, you're controlling the guy. Like, that's very, very obvious. And with that, combined with the hunger and all that stuff, it feels like there's a lot of things that you have to deal with as you're playing. It's exhaustive to play, and it's also, it's just sloggy. It's slow paced.
It's a very grown-up game.
Yeah, it is
in the most, like, specific way that sounds silly. It sounds very juvenile to define it that way, but, like, this is what everybody has always wanted.
Yeah,
we talked about this earlier this week.
Yeah,
this is the game that everybody's always wanted. They wanted a realistic game. They wanted a game where your gun can get dirty and break down if you don't oil it.
Your horse gets dirty.
Your horse gets dirty. You know, things happen slowly and require maintenance, but the maintenance kind of comes off as silly to me.
And a lot of it is optional, too.
Right. There is no impact to those things, but it is very cool that they were able to program that.
Yeah, at the end of the day, the thing is that Red Dead Redemption 2 is, like you said, it's an adult game. The way I like to explain it is, you know those movies that come out in Oscar season, and all the critics incredibly love them, and you can,
like,
look at them.
3 hours long.
Yeah, and you can look at them and go, wow, that's an achievement in film.
Yep.
But is it really something you want to watch over and over and over?
Right.
Or is it one of those, I'll watch it once and then I don't want to watch it again?
Yep.
Like Boyhood. It's a 3-hour movie. It's a fantastic movie, but I don't want to watch it again.
Right.
It's not fun to watch. Red Dead is incredibly impressive on a technical level, but I would be bold-faced lying if I said I was having any fun in the first 5 hours. It was fun to be like, oh, this is cool, but I was more or less in party chat yelling to my friends, and my friends yelling to me, can I run? Why can't I run when I'm in camp? Why can't I do this yet? How do I fast travel? And it was, on one hand, it felt like the early days of Breath of the Wild, mm-hmm. where it was like, how do I do this? How do I do that? But everything is incredibly slow, and we're in a year of games where every game is like 50, 60 hours, and I can accomplish so much in Assassin's Creed. I can do so much combat, see all these cool things in 5 hours. In Red Dead, that maybe gets me 4 missions, a few games of dominoes, and a lot of those missions are, once again, 5 minutes of you on horseback, you cannot fast travel, listening to somebody talk, then you shoot a few dudes, or you do something like simple as shoveling manure,
yeah.
And then you have to go all the way back to your camp if you want to take a train somewhere else.
Yep,
they
leave you somewhere without your horse at the end of a mission.
You have to walk all the way to get to your horse because all of your equipment is stored on your horse, so if you abandon your horse, and you have to upgrade your... There's a lot of stuff going on. And we'll talk about this during Game of the Year, because I'm sure it'll pop up in some categories, but it probably won't pop up in others. And at the end of the day, I don't think this is a perfect 10. There is time to come around on it. I hear that the story picks up during Chapter 5, but I'm like 20 hours in, and I'm in the tail end of Chapter 3, beginning of Chapter 4.
I, for one, cannot wait for online, though.
Yeah, the online will be cool. I think once they strip away some of the single-player life simulation things, if that's a thing, and go more towards like the idea of having fun and the old cowboy revolvers, that would be cool.
Breath of the Wild West?
Yeah. Red Dead is an incredibly narrative game. Red Dead 2 is an incredibly narrative game, and like Kevin said, it's an adult game, and like I said, I think it's one of those critics' games. But the question is, will you have fun playing it? And it's going to take a certain gamer to really have fun with this one.
Right, right.
So... You probably already bought it. We'll talk about it at the end of the year. Red Dead Redemption 2, impressive, but not terribly fun because of its slow pace.
It is to games what Game of Thrones is to books.
Yeah, that's a perfect example.
Because Game of Thrones is extremely entertaining.
But it makes
a fantastic TV show. But if you really sit down and read the books, you're going to have to slog through 30 pages of George R. R. Martin describing like eel pies and food.
I did read those books and I don't remember any of that.
It gets to be a slog at times, and it's easy to remember the good parts.
I think a better representation, or a better we're going to hop on this next game here in a second, but like Game of Thrones, to get into Game of Thrones and for it to get good, you have to be able to tell me who the Tarleys are, who the Starks are, who the Lannisters are, invested. Who the kids who are. Exactly. For Red Dead to truly be good, you're going to have to be able to know exactly what to eat to fill these meters, when to clean your horse, and more so if that stuff even matters to you. But it's going to take time. It's going to take precious brain space. That's why I can tell you all the Lannister children, even though I haven't watched Game of Thrones with all the Lannister kids in it for 4 years, because it takes a lot. It's exhaustive in a good way, but often also in a bad way.
This sounds like something I would enjoy.
It's a very rich mind for people who enjoy depth, who enjoy lore.
You'll either love it or hate it at the end of the day. And it depends on whether or not you have a short attention span, if you like slow-paced things. It's no Grand Theft Auto 5.
But it is calming. It is relaxing.
It is. That being said,
it's also very frustrating.
When you allow yourself to chill back and kind of take things in and just organically go through the world and you don't want to gamify it, like the feel, I have to beat the game, it is a nice place to explore.
I have caught myself doing things that look cool because I'm like, yeah, I'm a fucking cowboy.
True.
I'm just going to strut up to this saloon instead of like just running because I want to get this mission done quickly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm like, I'm walking in with my swagger and I'm like, this looks cool as hell and I'm doing it for me. Like, this is only for me. You know, this is like my choice.
No benefit in the game. Exactly.
Until you lose like honor points, like you had too much swag, you piece of shit. This is the rich part of
town. Tone it down.
No, and there's tons of features in this game. You can play the game in first person mode, which is really useful for searching things. There's so much to talk about this game, and we're gonna move on because this is spooky stuff. We gotta get scary with it. You know what was scary? Actually, this wasn't scary. This was at most impressive on some levels, but just fine. Mega Man 11 for me.
Oh, I'm so sad.
It's okay. We'll go through it quickly. We're already at 41 minutes, but I hope you guys are in for a treat because this is a Halloween special. Mega Man 11. I got it from, I think it was the Red Box or something. I only had it for a handful of days, so I kind of powered through it. Tyler, when we had talked about it originally, you had gotten through like two bosses. I had gotten through, I think, one. Maybe I hadn't beaten one at that point. Now that I'm done with the game, what I can tell you is, I agree with you. It's too difficult in some areas. I ended up beating it on casual mode because I started it thinking I hit normal, beat two robot masters, and then went, I don't feel like I'm taking that much damage. Looked at my save file when I loaded it back up, casual, and I didn't want to play through the first two guys again. So I just finished it on casual. And for that, for me, it was a somewhat challenging, but not really because I'm a veteran Mega Man player. It was okay. It was not bad. In my opinion, it was not bad. It just wasn't. I was hoping that this was going to be the Sonic Mania of Mega Man. It was going to really celebrate what it did. And what it really is it's like, here's a fine Mega Man game that kind of feels like maybe 6 or 7. You know, there's like Clown Man and Impact and Fuse Man, like not very memorable people. And then there's like one or two extra features and you can buy some power-ups. But besides that, it's a Mega Man game.
I mean, yeah.
But you love the core of Mega Man, Tyler.
Yeah.
The whole idea of getting the weapons. And I guess at the end of the day, that's my question for you. Did you find the Robot Masters and the weapons memorable? Because I can't remember the weapons, to be honest, at this point. And I played this like 2 weeks ago. I have a shitty memory, but...
So here's the problem. I haven't picked it up since we talked about it last.
Okay. And that is telling. That is incredibly telling.
So I was able to beat Fuse Man and, is it Tundra Man?
Yeah, I think you're right. Tundra Man, even though it sounds ridiculous, yeah. I think that's right.
I mean, it's definitely not Freeze Man. That's
no.
7.
That's, or 1. Iceman is 1.
8. 7. 7.
So you didn't, anyway. is it because of the challenge?
It is too hard for me. I can't beat Torchman's stage.
I would recommend to you, even though this goes against the grain of how you experience Mega Man games, I recommend you just restart on casual, because at the end of the day, casual still feels challenging. I was way better at Mega Man 2 when I was, you know, 8 than I am now. I'm just going to be upfront. Too much of my brain has been contributed to other stuff for me to be that good.
I understand where you're coming from, but I can still beat Mega Man 3 in like an hour.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just, last year, I think I played through all the Mega Mans. I was using save states and stuff like that. But
you know.
It's
I'm talking like 3 deaths and you got to start over kind of deal.
I did X with that X Legacy Collection. That was tough.
That's fun. X is easy to
X me. X was tough only because of Sigma. But anyways,
Sigma's kind of a hard
Yeah, loss. Yeah. Anyways, so Mega Man it's 11, awkward. It's very telling that Tyler hasn't picked it back up, at least in the terms of difficulty. Because as far as difficulty goes, yeah, I don't think even the last half of retro Mega Man is that tough. You know, like 5, 6, 7's easy as shit, in my opinion.
Five was hard. 6 was...
Was 6 the easy one?
6 was the easy one because it wasn't initially made by... I don't think this one was made by Capcom.
You might be right.
But, like, 7 was not hard at all. 8 was not hard at all.
At the end of the day...
Except for jump, slide. And if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I mean.
Yeah, 100%. At the end of the day, it's a fine Mega Man game. It's tough as nails, and if you're new to the franchise at all, or if you're returning, I would recommend you play it on casual. It's a fun experience, and there's some cool little challenges, but I think that's ultimately what it was. I was hoping for a Sonic Mania, a celebration of Mega Man, something that feels like maybe the Mega Man Legacy Collection 1. It has a bunch of cool modes. It really makes you want to like Mega Man, and while there's some depth there with the items that you can get and the secrets you can find, it's nothing that feels revolutionary in the year 2018.
That's something that they developed in 7, was Otto's shop.
Yeah.
Otto?
I think.
Anyway,
it's come back and forth over the X, and it's here now. You can buy little upgrades, like Beat will come in, little bird, and save you from pitfalls or something like that.
Mega Man is not a roguelike.
No.
Mega Man is a stage-driven boss battle game.
Yes.
And you either have enough lives or you don't. If you want to grind out something, like in Mega Man X, there's no going back and forth between this area and that area and finding the little hoot-hoot owl things. And...
Yeah, it's just straight through a stage select.
Right.
I feel like this did not meet your expectations, because your expectations were a bit higher than mine.
Mega Man game.
And
that was my expectation.
It's a Mega Man game.
It's not.
It's...
I don't think it's a Mega Man game.
We can argue this a game of the year. When
it will come up.
When it will come up. Because there's so many games that I think so much stuff has to be talked about. But Mega Man 11, obviously, from what you just heard, it's a tepid not recommendation, and the tepid... Would you recommend it?
I would recommend it. Yeah.
You know what I would do? I would casual. Say, if you're looking at the Mega Man X Legacy Collection, and you're about to buy Legacy Collection 1 and 2, don't buy the second one. Unless you really like the later X4 games.
I agree with
And
this.
Just buy Mega Man 11. It's like $10 extra, but you'll have a better time. But definitely, if you haven't jumped into Mega Man yet, and you're like, oh, I want to try Mega Man 11, buy the Legacy Collection first. Legacy Collection 1, and then X Legacy Collection, and you'll be doing yourself a favor. But we'll talk about it after. I hope you either start back up on Casual Man or get back into it. There's some cool levels. Clown Man's level was really fun. It was very colorful.
Bounce Man? I can't stand
Bounce Man. Yeah, not Clown Man. Bounce Man. Yeah, I like the Wily stages a lot.
I wouldn't even know.
It's the like I can't
beat enough bosses to find him.
Just maybe knock it down on Casual and tell yourself I know, but here's the trick. You say, I'll play it on Casual first so I can experience the game, and then I'm going to go through on Normal and really beat it. And then you'll beat it on Casual and be like, I'm okay with not playing it on Normal. And then at the end of the day, you've beaten Mega Man 11, and no one in your life is going to give you shit about being on Easy.
Cause that's true.
I play every game on Easy, guys. I have no issue with it. Unless it's something hard like Dark Souls, which doesn't have a difficulty. Kevin.
It just has pain.
What up? Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Do you want to talk about this now, or you want to talk about this next week? Because we've both played a shit ton of it, and there's a lot to talk about.
I'm cool saving it.
Okay, all I'll say is I think that Assassin's Creed is a better open world game than Red Dead Redemption. Don't at me. Don't at me right now, because I am 45 hours into Assassin's Creed, and I'm still having fun. I had fun from minute one of Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and every 5 hours, I would say, that's about right. Every 5 hours, they open up a new feature to you. Like, you start off, you get the mercenaries thing, and then eventually you get some other things.
And they're progressively better.
Yeah, and then, like, that's what Kevin would text me. I think I was, like, maybe 10% higher than him at one point, and he was like, oh, I just found this really cool system. I was like, wait until you find this thing, you'll like it even more. And then he's like, yeah, no, this is really, really cool. And I think that's what Assassin's Creed is this time. It's a a very vastly huge open world. And I'm not kidding when I say if you want 100% this thing, we're talking 100, 200 hours. I haven't beaten the main story and I'm 45 hours in. There's so many cool things, magical, mythical beasts to find. This all takes place in Greece, by the by. You can either play as Cassandra or Alexios. There's dialogue options. There's tons of cool stuff. Is there anything you want to talk about real quick? But we'll get into it. This is my... I'm just going to come out and say it right now, boys. This is my top runner for Game of the Year right now. Until I look back at the rest of the year, because there's things like Monster Hunter that I already forgot about right then.
I'm gonna go ahead and say that don't be deterred by people who are saying that the game is buggy. I genuinely haven't had an issue with it.
I ran into, I think, one bug. Here's the thing, is that you can, unless you are in a enemy territory, you can save at any point. Press the start button and press up on the D-pad, you have quick saved. So if there's a bug, and yeah, I heard, I think on Kotaku or a few other outlets, that some people are having game-breaking bugs. It's buggy when you take a game like Oblivion or Fallout and compare how big that is, yeah, to how absolutely massive Assassin's Creed actually is.
Yep.
It has so few bugs,
right,
than what you're used to.
I think that's what I'm getting at, is even games like GTA 5 and games that are similar. I mean, GTA 5 isn't even that big compared to this, but is 10 times as buggy.
I have seen a bigger animation bug in... I saw a man walk out of a door in Red Dead Redemption 2 out into a patio that didn't exist because it didn't render in yet, and then he walked out into the street over, like he was floating, and then his character zipped back to the place he was supposed to be. It was like a huge animation glitch.
Yeah.
I have had maybe a character stutter in Assassin's Creed.
Right.
Not that that's like any really comparison.
There's some frame rate issues, but reloading helps with that. I mean, there.
If you have an Xbox One X too, that's that really makes it look way better.
Yeah.
And makes it run better. But Assassin's Creed Odyssey, it's made by the people who made Assassin's Creed Syndicate, and that's all you need to know if you listen to me talk about Assassin's Creed.
Now, so far, the other thing I'll compare between the two, I think on a consistency basis, Assassin's Creed tends to look better in terms of the environment.
You know what?
It depends, though. Because there's definitely... there's a switch that happens, especially during narrative missions in Red Dead, where you're playing and the hair will look kind of weirdly chunky and polygonal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then all of a sudden it'll switch to a more cinematic mode and it'll look amazing. So, like... let's put it this way. Red Dead has highs and lows, whereas Assassin's Creed seems to always at least...
consistently be either like, you know, above average or just kind of hit at average.
Right.
The one thing that really pisses me off about Assassin's Creed, and we'll leave on a sour note, but know that the game is fantastic. It's absolutely amazing, in my opinion. The game is so vividly bright and so colorful. And why do you use gold for your indicator of your map objectives when the entirety of the game is bright as hell? It is so hard to see. And
yes.
Like, if you play Spider-Man on PS4, perfect example of how to use show people things on the map. Bright pink, bright blue, shit that pops up. In this, it's like everything is white, and it's very hard to see when you're walking around in sand.
Oh, dude, there have been times where I've set a waypoint, and I turn 360 degrees. I'm like, where the fuck is it?
Or I spawn at a watchtower or a synchronization point because there's a quest to turn in,
and
it's a simple question mark, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, I cannot find this for the life of me. I have to go back to my map 3 or 4 times. So there's still issues. But Assassin's Creed Odyssey, in my opinion, probably the best Assassin's Creed since Syndicate, but two completely different games. I feel like at this point, Assassin's Creed shouldn't be called Assassin's Creed. Takes place before the Assassins and also doesn't have the Assassins' blades. I'll talk about this for a second. Call of Duty Black Ops 4 is a fun game if you like Call of Duty Black Ops. It's actually not trash. The single player stuff has been removed. I'm disappointed by that because it actually looked promising from the cutscenes they do have in the kind of tutorial mode. But regardless, they took the content that probably would have been in single player, or at least the effort that would have gone towards single player, and put it into other modes. The Battle Royale Blackout mode, which I thought was going to suck, actually really impressive. You can use perks, you can do really cool things like take an RCXD and shoot a sensor dart on it and then have a moving UAV. There's neutral zones. If you guys have played Fortnite recently, you know they added a PvE, so like zombies will spawn on the maps and you have to fight those guys, and they're near... Call of Duty literally did that like a week before their patch. Call of Duty also in Blackout, you drop onto the locations, and locations are inspired by popular Call of Duty maps. So there's like Nuketown Island and the firing range. So if you like Call of Duty and you like PUBG, you'll like Blackout more than PUBG. You're going to like this Blackout mode. If you like zombies, good news. Zombies is the best it's ever been. Three separate campaigns. One takes place on the sinking Titanic. One takes place in Roman Colosseum. And one is a remake of an older map. And they all have this really cool narrative progression. A lot of really, really cool hidden secret Easter eggs. You can also play solo with bots for the first time, and there's a ridiculous amount of customizable options for custom games. Like, you can determine how big the spread of the zombies are when they group up, how many groups there are per zombie, what weapons open, what weapons are available, what doors open. Just a ridiculous amount. It almost looks like a mod pack.
When you say Colosseum, are you using modern weapons in a Colosseum?
Well, the thing is the power-ups are like four gods. There's like Odin, Ra, I'm forgetting, Zeus, something else. So you do use modern weapons, but you can also have things like staffs, and it's really cool. But yeah, you are using modern weapons. It's more of like a arena, and then there's four towers that are each dedicated to a different god and that kind of culture of it. And then there's like sacrifice pits and stuff. Long story short, zombies good. Better than I thought. And this is coming from someone who's played every Call of Duty. I thought I'd be done by now. Blackout, also good if you like it. I'm not a huge fan of Battle Royale, but everybody I know who's played Battle Royale games, they love the Blackout. And then multiplayer, I had fun with, you know? There's specialists, kind of like heroes in Overwatch, but not that big of a deal. So you have like one guy who can call out a doggy and go chase people down. One dude can lay trip mines. Someone can heal the team. It's fun. It's cool. If you like Call of Duty, buy Call of Duty 4, or Black Ops 4, because it's actually decent. Did anyone play Soul Calibur 6?
Nope. Yeah, I did.
Okay, that was you. I saw it, and then I was like, I was going to play this, and then I didn't. I heard a lot about it. But Soul Calibur... I got
another thing to add as well.
Another game? Yeah. Okay, cool. I can wait. Soul Calibur 6. Tyler, I've heard that there is a big RPG solo mode. There's like an arcade solo mode. There's crazy amounts of customizable...
I've been loving seeing people's character creations.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Soul Calibur has historically had a great customizable character thing.
It's okay.
The thing I want to know, though... Is it feel good still? Does it feel fun? You know,
Do you heard him? Is it feel good still?
Is it feel good still? Is it weapon fun gun?
Is weapon good hit?
Geralt of Rivia Witcher hit gun sword? Fun good? Soul Calibur.
What part are you having a problem with? Is it fun good?
The last part.
Are you misunderstand have me right now?
Why say lot word?
All right, that's enough. Soul Calibur's fine. All right, so Soul Calibur, the arcade story mode is just a retelling of the base lore of Soul Calibur.
There you go.
It is literally everything you ever wanted to know about Soul Calibur.
Now you got it. And it's
a
solo
lot
mode.
Of loading. A lot of loading.
What's with the RPG thing? Better, worse?
Didn't get to play it. Was too busy building one character, didn't like how many options I got, didn't want to build him again because you can't select from saved.
Ooh.
You have to start from scratch when you do the a character storyline.
Oh, so like your custom characters that you make in the custom character menu cannot be imported?
Correct.
So you like make the Joker, you spend like 20 hours making the Joker in the custom character creation, and you're like, let's boot up this RPG mode. And they're like, now create your character.
Exactly.
That's rough.
Ugh.
Spent an hour making Seeker, my D&D character. All right. Seeker wears a lot of different multi pieces of armor. Like he's like a mismatch.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's also a lizard man.
Hell yeah.
You can't equip lizard men with any armor. You can't equip them with more than three head pieces. You can't even give them an eye patch. Not that he has an eye patch, but like,
but you
that's
can make
what
a
I'm
lizard man.
About. Yeah, you can make a lizard man. You can make a skeleton.
I guess Soul Calibur does have some pretty crazy stuff.
Yeah, there's all sorts of things: angels, demons, and lizard people.
So you thought, just so you guys understand and listening at home, if maybe you haven't played a Soul Calibur game, if you've maybe played a Bethesda game, or let's say like a WWE, just imagine how many little different sliders there are just for like adjusting a character's face in Fallout.
There are that many sliders.
Now imagine that, but for literally color clothing, every piece of, you know, facial hair. There is so many sliders, it makes a Bethesda game blush. It makes Dark Souls blush. So spending that much time again to make a custom character, I can understand why you didn't get into it. Does the fighting feel cool?
It's fine.
Does it still feel old school, or did they try to like modernize it?
No, it still feels like old school Soul Calibur.
I guess that's what I wanted it to be.
If you like Soul Calibur, the horizontal versus the vertical attacks, the up block, the side block, that kind of deal, the crouch block, like it's all there. The ring out. someone made someone fly out of the arena. I don't know how he did it.
I played Soul Calibur 2 a lot. I'm sure everyone played Soul Calibur 2. That was the one that had like the Link on GameCube or Venom or whatever.
Heihachi.
Yeah, I played Spawn. Soul Calibur 4 with like Yoda. Does it feel more like old 2, or does it still have that modern, I guess, flair?
As far as fighting goes?
Yeah.
It still has the... Oh boy.
Two, I think... Well, that's getting into like the nitty-gritty, because I think they introduced like mid-attacks in 2? Or three?
In two they may have had mid attacks, but I know what you're talking about.
My Soul Calibur knowledge is kind of limited, TBH.
We are back to high and low attacks. We are back to horizontal and vertical attacks.
Okay.
There's no like mid slash that you just guard with everything.
Okay.
They have I don't know how long it's been there, but there is a charge bar now, like a Marvel vs. Capcom kind of deal. Okay. Where that tells you how often you can use your power surge, or you like the people have ultimate moves now.
All right, so there is like a few modern features, but for the most part, it's still okay.
It only goes up to 2. It's not like you can bank them and use them all at once. You can, but like doing them both at once really should just end the fight. And it collects over the fights. So carries over.
Round one goes round two, et cetera.
Yeah, however much you have left.
Would you say that it is easy to learn? Is it welcoming to newcomers? Or no. does it expect you to have like some knowledge?
This is one of the hardest fighters I've ever played. And
it's a 3D fighter.
Guilty Gear is fun to me.
3D fighters are often more difficult than 2D fighters, even the techie ones, in my opinion, because you have so much movement and so many different... I can never read the combos in 3D fighters.
I mean, it's
very
like
bad at them.
Down diagonal kick, but there's sidestep. A pause in there, and then you have to high slash or heavy slash.
That's why I want to know about mid attacks, because here's my secret. In Soul Calibur 4, there is a character named Cassie, and she had a move that looked like it was a mid attack, but it wasn't. It was actually a high, so everyone would a block low, and so what I did is I chose that character, and for the first weekend, I would just do that attack over and over, and without fail, I would win, because I would get at least their first entire life bar down before they figured it out, and then it was basically, you know, they have like 2 hits before they die. I was just wondering if maybe I could replicate that kind of cheese motion, but it sounds like no.
No, highly likely. Yes, you could absolutely do that.
Fine. Go ahead, sorry.
Try Sophitia.
Final question before we move on to this smaller game and this even smaller game.
Nope.
And then another game from Kevin. Nope,
mine's next.
And then we'll get here.
It's relevant.
Some spooky stuff, and then we'll wrap up the show. But I do want to know, did you get to play as the Geralt Man, the Witcher 3 protagonist?
Hell yeah, I made sure of it.
Is he fun?
Oh my god, is he cool. All okay.
Right. That's good.
So
They didn't do my boy dirty.
For all you Witcher fans, worry not. He's the White Wolf, and they made him proper.
Is he fast?
He's fucking fast.
Both swords?
He's fucking strong.
Nice.
I don't remember if he used both swords. I think he just used the one.
It's okay.
You know, one sword for humans, one sword for monsters.
Maybe it's depending on who you're fighting against, so you can tell you're
right,
a little
yeah.
bit different. Maybe.
Like what? Like against Astaroth or Nightmare, he uses the silver sword kind of deal. That'd be dope.
Or your lizard guy. You know?
Or your, yeah, the lizard man.
He has to fight them. So
demons.
I'm glad that Geralt is fun.
He uses all them runes. His ultimate is White Wolf.
Ooh, that's
God,
cool.
So cool.
Do you plan on playing any more before the end of the year?
I would play it if Josh would have me over, but I don't really want to. Like, there's no desire.
If you were forced, if it was put in front of you, you'd diddle with it. But
if it was put in front of me, yes, I would play it. But like,
I still think
I would even go a place to do it.
The most impressive fighter in terms of us is Injustice 2, just because everybody.
I didn't play it, so I don't know.
Boy, you were there when Kevin was playing it, right?
No, I wasn't.
Shit.
No, I played it
no,
against...
It was Josh.
I went and played it at my our buddy Andy's house, and his wife kicked my ass.
It's a fun game, and I was just surprised because how much everyone kind of liked it.
I played as the Turtles. Just crushed her.
Oh, yeah, the Turtles did come out. The game's great.
They're gross.
Injustice 2, guys, is still a fantastic fighting game. Kevin,
Injustice 2 Electric Boogaloo.
What is your secret game?
Secret game is My Hero One's Justice.
Oh yeah, that's right. Another 3D fighter, but this time with an anime twist.
Y'all know how I feel about fighters.
You don't like them.
I hate them.
Unless they're in Justice 2.
I loved My Hero One's Justice. It is a 3D fighter. I would say it's similar in feel to like the Budokai series, where you have the you're in an arena. It's less focused on aerial, like flying and shit, like Budokai is.
Is it kind of like Naruto, where it's a lot of dashing?
It's actually made by the same people, so yes, it is.
Okay.
It's also very.
But it's that Shippuden stuff. It's not that side to side ultimate whatever the game that me and Josh played.
It's less. Yeah, it's less horizontal. It's more. Yeah. Moving around, there's a lot of cool stuff going on here. During character select, you pick your main character, and then you pick two sidekicks. The sidekick bar charges over time. You use them basically to break people who are comboing you. So if you're getting comboed pretty hard, you can summon, you know, Uraraka or one of your other sidekicks to
just kind of like Capcom assist.
Give them a slap on the button, and now they're floating, so they can't punch you or something like that.
Right.
They have a charge bar that has three stages. First stage is a super move. The second one is your plus ultra move, and then your third one is your plus ultra move, including your sidekicks.
How fun!
It's very simple. Each character has the same basic combos, just the way that they apply in each situation is different. So each character has some sort of ranged attack, but if your hero has a non-ranged focused quirk, then you're not so strong at range. So, for example, like All Might doesn't really have a great range attack, but if you get in close with him, you better watch out. So, yes, there's strengths and weaknesses. It's not so much rock, paper, scissors, but I had a blast with this game. There were all sorts of fun stuff going on. One of the highlights was, I believe, Josh was playing All Might, and I was playing as... I don't remember.
My Hero Academia people.
It's inconsequential. I was falling out of the sky, and Josh managed to bear hug me and then suplex my ass into the ground as I was falling to the earth. And neither of us knew this was possible. So it was just one of those things where, like, you know how in normal fighting games, like, the only way you can really successfully do a grab move is if you're both on the ground.
Yeah.
This one, he literally caught me out of the midair and then suplexed me.
They got some good old air grabs in that image.
Very, very, very fun. I highly recommend it. Maybe not buy if you just want to go out and rent it. Very fun.
I was going to ask that question because here's my thing. I wanted to play it because I like anime-ish.
I would love to play it with you.
I don't play a lot of anime, watch it with my eyes, but I do like story mode anime. And from what I heard with MHA, the single player... Did you play the story mode at all?
We did not, no.
I heard the story mode takes place in the middle of season 2.
Probably.
To like the end of 3 or 4 or something weird. That sounds
about right. 3.
So it's...
There aren't 4 seasons.
It's not. It's not current for people who are up with the show, but it's too far forward for newcomers. Well, obviously, if it starts in season 2, it's not meant for people who are like haven't seen the show.
The arenas are really cool too. You get to play in like the sports festival stage, and it's a ring out arena.
That's cool.
So I
hate that stage.
You can literally like remake
the fight,
the sports festival.
I don't watch
other key things like Uraraka pulling stuff out of the ground and making it float and then batting it at somebody. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Like in the building.
And she can like pull a couple things out of the ground and then use them as, you know, hit people with them. It gives her a little bit of a range bump. There's a lot of cool stuff going on. Your character can like hit the wall and get stuck in it.
3D fighters seem to be doing pretty decent this year. Soul Calibur, decent. MHA, decent.
Mm-hmm.
Decent, decent, decent. There's
going to be a lot of fighters that are going to get really, really sad when Super Smash Bros. Comes out.
Yes. Super Smash Bros. I think is already the top-selling game of 2019 or 2018 on Amazon, maybe? I don't know. Anyways, do you want to talk about Jackbox real quick? Or you want to save it for later? We're already at like an hour and 10.
It's not super important.
Okay, Jackbox.
I only played it once.
Jackbox 5 is a fun multiplayer game. Play on your phones with the people at parties.
I'll just give you a breakdown real quick of the games.
Yeah, yeah, because it's all a collection of games.
Top one is Split the Room.
Okay.
Or I'm sorry, not top in terms of my favorite. Split the Room is they give you a prompt. You have to fill in the prompt in such a way as to get people to vote one way or the other for it. Ideally, you get people to vote
on both sides. You have to split the room.
Okay.
So you have to say something that is controversial or will create a bit of a divide.
Dissonance.
Not necessarily dissonance. It's just kind of a, would you rather never eat mac and cheese or never eat pizza? You know what I mean? It's
not you're trying to split the room.
Exactly. My personal favorite was this robot rap track sort of thing where they give you a... they give you a sentence, and then you have to fill in, like, the last word, and they give you, like, a Mad Lib style, like, oh, affirmative adjective or something like that. You fill in that adjective, and then you get a blank second line that you have to then rhyme with the first line.
Little Mad Libs rapids.
Yes, and it is extremely fun, because it's like a diss battle between you and your friends.
It sounds... Well, oh, how many are there?
I've played there's that a, game. It's called Oh Sir.
Oh Sir Insult
it was
Simulator.
Similar to Oh Sir, but you had to write... more.
Yeah, there's like you choose in Oh Sir Insult Simulator.
This one says it. The other ones, I don't remember very well.
Then they're not as memorable. Great.
They were okay.
The best one ever is the one where you get to make the t-shirt design and somebody else is the
TKO.
Logo. Yeah, yeah.
That's I think Fibbage is pretty good. Oh, there was the You Don't Know Jack regular trivia, but nobody wants to play that with me.
Yeah, I like regular You Know Jack.
I'd play that.
I love trivia.
It's good stuff. You Know Jack is a fun kind of trivia. Last thing here we'll talk about before we get into some spooky recommendations and wrap this bitch up. Thank you, Tyler, because my agenda was not up on my screen. Guys, you know Reigns. We talk about Reigns all the time. Every time we talk about mobile games, talk about Reigns.
That's how I guide my horse in Red Dead Redemption 2.
Exactly. There's so many different reigning kinds. You got reigns for your horse, you got reigning over kingdoms, and that's the kind that I'm talking about today. Reigns, there is Reigns 1, Reigns Your Majesty. There were games where you were king of a kingdom. You would make very simple yes and no choices based on story cards that would pop up, and you just try to live as long as you could while maintaining a few bars that had to do with like how much food you have and how much power and how much church presence.
How much the people love you. How much the church is okay with you as a king.
Little four little things.
The amount of money.
It was a very easy game to play. Quick, fast, and fun to learn. Always new story stuff popping up. And then they announced and just released Reigns GOT, a.k.a. Game of Thrones, with the reigns. So it's very similar in nature, as in you are looking at these story cards that have characters on them. They'll say something, you respond to them by swiping left or right. Your decisions make an impact on, once again, four bars that you're trying to adjust. This time around, it's once again how much your people love you, how much control the sept has, aka how much control the church has, your forces, your armed forces, and your money. What's different is instead of playing as a no-name king or queen, when the game starts, you start playing as Daenerys. You are the queen, and you go through a small introductory sequence. And as you play the game and go down different narrative threads, you unlock other characters to play as in the position of king or queen. So eventually you get to play as Jon Snow, Arya Stark, Cersei, Tyrion. And when you play... you get different cards depending on who's who. You know, if you're a Lannister, you're going to have the Starks fighting against you. There's different things to balance here and there, but it all has this kind of over arc of Lady Melisandre trying to find who is Azor Ansari or whatever.
Azor Ahai.
Yeah, Azor Ahai. It's deep in Game of Thrones.
Aziz Ansari.
Aziz Ansari.
Azor Ansari.
I don't know. Another thing, if you're not up to date on Game of Thrones, don't play this game because it's going to spoil the shit out of everything. You know, it's actually going to probably, it kind of spoils next season too, I think.
When I first heard that Reigns was doing a Game of Thrones version, I was like, why though? But when you described it, like, it actually makes a lot of sense.
Well, and then there's further things, too. Like, you're not just in the kingdom. So, like, say you play as Jon Snow, right? Varys will come up to you and be like, the main city is cool. We need you back in Whiterun. Not Whiterun. That's from Skyrim. We need you back in Winterfell. Yeah, we need you back in Winterfell. And so if you're playing as Jon Snow, you can ride a carriage back to Winterfell, and there's some things along the way, and then, you know, you meet new characters.
Oh, you're finally awake.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn it, Todd Howard.
And welcome. Here's the dragon. Skyrim belongs to the Nords. But yeah, you can also leave your throne room, so like you can go into a tavern if you disguise yourself and, you know, hear about rumors and stuff. It's just a lot of cool things. If you like the show, and once again, like we said earlier, if you know all the characters' names, all the family names, there's a lot of really cool stuff for like book fans too. If you like Reigns and you like Game of Thrones, this is a no-brainer. Get it. It's like $3 or $4. I bought it without question. But those are the main differences. You can choose your king or queen, and you can move You can move to different locations. You can also build buildings and stuff like that. And also winter will come and last for a generation. And then you get different choices, and your choices are all crazy important when winter is there. Sorry, guys. It's been a spooky episode. We have many, many spooky recommendations for you as we wrap this thing up. Kevin, I think, has some sort of game something.
No, I got a joke for you guys.
He's got a giggle.
Spicy game joke.
Maybe it's not a game joke. You should have told us like a scary story. Boo! That's your scary...
It's got a skeleton in it.
Oh, spooky, scary skeleton. Sends shivers down your spine. Here we go, guys, with our recommendations. We were gone for a week or two. We took it off during the Halloween season. I had a wedding to go to. We were doing some stuff. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to fast shoot like 10 Halloween games. Scary games of different varying things that people can play, all right? And then you guys want to fill in with Kevin. I think you might have a TV something that you want people to watch. I think Tyler maybe want to talk about a movie or a book. I got a book, so we'll do that. This is hella horror recommendations before we wrap up the show. Guys, feel free to chime in if any of these horror games specifically you want to endorse. I played a little bit of Outlast. Y'all know Outlast, spooky game. Tyler, you don't like that game?
Yeah, with Andre 3000 and.
My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure. Right, Resident Evil 7 A is also a good game that you can play. Resident Evil 7 is great. Also, Resident Evil HD Remaster. Tyler, if you had to choose between Resident Evil 7, the first person spookiest, scariest one, or the OG Resident Evil HD Remaster in the Spencer Mansion, which one would you recommend?
The underside of my pillow.
Hell yeah. How about you, Kevin? What's your favorite Resident Evil?
7.
All right, cool. Resident Evil 7. Here's a creepier one. It's kind of sci-fi cyberpunk. You guys remember Observer?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, boot up Observer. It's on Switch now. You can get it on Xbox One, PS4. How about this one? I think everyone can agree with me, even Tyler. Costume Quest from our boys at Double Fine.
Man, that's a good game.
That's a good game.
If you don't play, Costume Quest is just like Luigi's Mansion, and there you go, Luigi's Mansion. Play that too. Costume Quest 1 and 2 are great games for those who want to get into the Halloween spirit, but don't want to get scared. They are very basic turn-based RPGs that follow you as a kid trick-or-treating on Halloween night. You're there with your sister, there's goblins, and the costume you wear on Halloween night lets you turn into like a giant version of that when you're fighting. Bless you, Tyler.
Thank you.
So like if you're wearing a robot costume, when you go into the fight, you'll turn into a giant like Optimus Prime. It's really cool stuff. Costume Quest 1 and 2, excellent games. I recommend both of them. If you're feeling a bit more narrative, Until Dawn. Tyler, didn't you play Until Dawn?
No. That game's terrifying.
Until Dawn's a spooky game. Did you play that, Kevin? No. Until Dawn's great, guys. It's made by the people who made like Detroit Become Human, Heavy Rain. Heavy Rain's another good one, but it's not very, very, very scary. I already said Luigi's Mansion. We could throw Amnesia. There you go. We talked about that last few episodes, so if you want to get into that, Amnesia is also a good thing. And finally, if you have a PlayStation 3, 4, PT, Silent Hills, that is the most recommended. I would recommend that to you. All right, there's so many things to play for you guys. If you had any question on what to play, why don't you try out one of those? They're on many different systems.
And if all else fails, you can play Bioshock. That one's spooky.
Yeah, yeah, Bioshock. Specifically Bioshock 1.
It's good, but
1.
Also spooky.
It is fantastic.
Atmospheric, even.
How about some things they can watch with their eyes? I've been watching the Saw series, like I said earlier at the top of the show. I just watched Saw 5, which is not good. I've rewatched them a million times. But yeah, watch Saw. If you're feeling like a little bit of the gory, Saw. And if you're feeling like a little bit of the ghosties, watch the Conjuring movies. Anybody got TV? There's been a lot of spooky TV.
Yeah, I think you said it already last week, but I got to double up on The Haunting at Hill House.
I don't know if I said that, but I finished it.
It's good.
How far are you?
Episode 4 or 5, I believe.
Tyler, have you even attempted this?
Every time I see the trailer, it gets too scary, and then I turn it to the next thing.
I jumped twice. One was cheap, and one is probably one of the biggest scares in recent memory.
Rachel nearly jumped out of her skin in the most recent episode, and she's...
5.
We're both pretty good about hiding our eyes when we know something scary is coming up.
Yeah.
This one kind of took her by surprise.
Yeah, yeah. I only jumped twice, and one was a bullshit one that I should have seen coming from a mile away, and the other one... Kevin, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Call me the minute you see it.
Dude, there's some it's not just jump scares. This show is way more than jump scares.
The reason the jump scares that work is because it's baked into amazing cinematography and impressive atmosphere. If you don't know, the guy who directed this is the same guy who directed Gerald's Game on Netflix. Oh my God, my brain immediately just stopped. Hush, the horror movie about the deaf woman with the home invader. And he also did, I'm not going to remember. But he is Mike Flanagan, up and coming horror guy. He has a great eye for the
camera. They do a lot of interplay between, they follow the children who grew up in this haunted house as adults and in flashbacks as children, and they do a really great job playing with the visual continuity of each timeline, basically. So the adults is very clean, it's very modern,
a lot of technology,
and then you go back to their childhood and things are a lot more mystical and a little bit like softer around the edges, like everything's got a little bit of a muted color palette, and it really just is beyond the fact that the writing's pretty damn good. The cinematography alone is like it's
impressive. And yeah, I think Kevin said,
Netflix special.
Kevin said earlier, maybe it was off the air, but the acting, when it comes to the past segments, because it's two definitely separate things. When it comes to the past segments where they're in the summer, where they spent growing up in the haunted house, I have no issue with any of the acting. The kid actors are better than the Stranger Things kids.
They're fantastic.
Just hands down, amazing. There is a Spielberg-like innocence to them. Actually, I think somebody else said that, so I'm quoting somebody, I'm not sure who, but another critic said that before me. But it's very true.
Which is ironic, because the dad who... The guy who plays the dad is Elliot from E.T.
E.T., yeah, yeah. Some of the present-day actors can feel a little bit wooden when it gets emotional. Yeah. Dario O'Harris?
Dario Naharis.
Naharis from Game of Thrones is in there. There's a few decent actors and actresses in there. But it's just, it's impressive. Especially for Halloween, it's a good mix of drama and horror. And, you know, there's definitely more ghoulies than gore. But there's a few decent violent parts. I'd say Tyler don't watch it. You will have horror. You will have horror night.
There's two things about it. Like it's spooktacular and there's time travel in it. And so no thanks.
It's not time travel.
It's a flashback back and forth. It can be confused. But you know what? I think that's actually the show's biggest achievement is that even though it might hop back and forth between past and present a dozen or two dozen times an episode, it feels like Kevin said completely organic.
They do a really great job of blending the past and the present so well.
It's not hard to follow.
The scene changes are really nice, but it's not like... You've all seen that movie where there's past and present, and they do these really awesome, really, like, fluid scene changes. It's very much like that, but it is almost its own beast in that way.
If you've seen Castle Rock Episode 7, it's like that, but not as intense.
The thing I like, I think, the most about it is you sense the absence... When they don't switch it that much. I know in the most recent episode I watched, there was a really long period of time where they spent a lot of time in the present. And I'm like, yo, what's going on in the past?
A little bit boring.
Yeah. And then it goes back and you're like, oh, thank that.
It's not flawless.
No.
But it is definitely highly, highly recommended. Yep. Tyler, did you watch anything spooks on the TV? You watch anything on the scaries?
Watched Sabrina.
Ah, yeah, the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Isn't that like kind of like the people who did Riverdale, right?
Correct, yes.
So is this more of a horror or more of a drama?
It's definitely that high school drama like Riverdale. But it's also like some serious black magic stuff.
I have an important question for you. How did you watch
through 5 episodes.
Okay. I heard that they do this thing where the corners of the screen are blurred.
Yeah.
Is that how present is that where the shot is out of focus? Because somebody said like the first 20, really?
Yeah, often.
Okay, I can't deal with that.
They do it for spook factor, and I get it. I see it.
But if you blur, see where they're going. If you blur 25% of the screen, it just looks like shit after a while.
Yeah. So they don't do it for like all. They don't do it all the time. They're like, this is a scary thing, and then they focus on one character and they blur out a lot of the edges, and it focuses on the character, and it looks like their world is melting. Every time.
Okay.
But they don't do it every single time.
It was just like the one thing I heard.
There was a good shot where it was like the two other girls that are in the show, the two other high school girls, they're sitting like
at a distance from each other. It's like you're looking at them from the chair that they're sitting next to on the couch, and you can see both of them. So it focuses on the front girl while she's talking, and then it switches focus and on the back girl
for between foreground and background.
Yeah, and yeah, then yeah. It yeah. switches back to the front girl, and all the whole while, like, this is a spooky scene. That's why the edges are fuzzed.
Okay,
like,
so it works and it doesn't work at the same time. Here, I guess I know Sabrina as Sabrina the Teenage Witch on like Nickelodeon or whatever. Is it actually like a retelling of that, or is it just taking the name? And
it's based on a comic series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a separate comic series.
Okay. Then it's just, okay.
Salem also doesn't talk.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, Salem is talking to the weird animatronics.
I don't understand what everyone's so upset about. Like, she talks to the cat, and then the cat talks back to her, but you can't hear it. She can.
If it's not based on
not a big deal.
Well, who cares? It's a thing. So you got a little less spooky if you want to get, you know, some kind of scares, but not super scares, with Sabrina on the Netflix, if you want.
I don't know. I'm scared of it.
I hear the main actress, who is already a very accomplished voice actress, is quite good.
Yeah, I'll be interested to watch it.
It's pretty good.
I'm not sure. So yeah, you got some recommendations. Reading. Oh, I did. You can read a book. Speaking of Winchester Mystery House, and Red Dead and Plantations and that kind of time period, there is a book called Haunted House by Jack Kilbourne. Came out 2015. I just stumbled upon it and I was like, oh, let's listen to this. And it's basically, standard fare. Eight people who have had terrifying experiences in their life are offered $1 million if they go through one night in the Butler House. And the Butler House is supposedly this big ass plantation that was built upon by slaves in the Winchester Mystery House fashion of doors that go to nowhere, you know, passages that are inside the walls and all that crazy shit. And it's violent, it's spooky, and it's a scary horror book. It's a good time for today, Halloween. That's what today is. You guys.
Oh, I had a book.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, more. Yeah, yeah, go for it.
Kev, do you remember that story about good friends Knock Knock and Help Me?
Yes.
I don't know what that story's called. So I'm going to post the
kitchen cupboard one.
Yeah, it's the one. It's the one where that is a 18 minute short story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I recommend if you guys don't listen to anything else I've recommended, listen to the thing that Tyler just, I think Knife Point Horror, podcast had it on there.
Yeah.
Shit, what is it called?
It's absolutely called
Kitchen Cabinet or something
like that. It's absolutely my favorite story I've ever heard. And it's just so eerie.
Yeah, it is a slow burn.
I'm going to post a link to a Bandcamp
on the Facebook
group or SoundCloud on the Facebook group so that you can listen to it.
It reminds me of the caliber of story that you would find in Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Do you remember those books with the creepy smoke clown people on the front?
Yes. Nope. It's Scary Stories to Read in the Dark is you'll know what you see. You'll know what we mean when you see the cover of it, and if you don't know what we're talking about, then I guess good childhood, because it wasn't horrifying.
Oh, good lord, yes.
Yeah, okay. Scary Stories to tell in the Dark.
The worms crawl in, the worms crawl out.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't find it by just Googling kitchen cabinet horror story, but we'll find that. It's really cool.
Pantry.
It's a pantry door thing. Oh, I'm really glad you brought that up. I'll probably listen to that tonight.
I've been saving that for the whole month.
Yeah, dude, that's a really, really good... Kevin. Or, sorry, Skevin and Tummy.
Skevinton, I think, is what
it's Skevinton, my bad. Skevinton, what's your book?
My book is not inherently scary. It was recommended to me by a good friend of ours. It's called First 17 Lives of Harry August, if I'm not mistaken.
I remember you telling me about this, and then right after I said, that sounds like the thing with the five people you meet in heaven.
Yeah.
I remember this talk we had. It's
about this guy who keeps dying and coming back to life as someone else, basically.
Not inherently spooky.
No.
But it's got death, and we all like death on Halloween.
It's good.
Is it an audiobook? You've been an audiobook, and you've been flipping those pages?
I've been reading.
I've been flipping the pages of the Adventure Zone graphic novel. Here They Be Gerblins. Shout out to the McElroy bros and daddy. Good stuff. Great, great paper. Just absolute great paper stock. Guys, is that all? Tyler is deep in his phone trying to find the goddamn pantry door horror story. I think maybe that's what it's called. Pantry door? It's got to be something, pantry, kitchen, something. It's about a guy who lives in a house with his wife, and the pantry door keeps making noises, and he thinks it sounds like "Help Me." And yes. it's crazy. It's so good. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of like a really creepy Black Mirror episode.
It does.
But without the technology. Yeah. Is that it? We've gotten a lot of recommendations. A good solid hour 30 on this episode. That's a good Halloween special. Kevin, what's your joke? Wait, before Kevin gives his joke, we're going to do all the social media. We're going to recommend all the podcasts and stuff. We have podcasts for you. Like anime? Shonen Trash. It's a good time. I don't know if they've been doing episodes as of late. I know Vince and Lauren had to get back onto it. Kevin's doing a few of his other shows. Not this Kevin. Kevin from Shonen Trash. But listen to it if you like anime. They cover different anime series, both new and old. If you like actual play podcasts, listen to Choose My Own Adventure. We love them over at there. If you want some more video game content that's similar to ours, you know, but a little bit more laid back maybe, you could check out Almost Better Than Silence. That's with Doug and the boys. I was actually on that show last week for their Halloween special. Me and Doug talked about things like Friday the 13th, Call of Duty Black Ops, and we played a game where I had to guess music from horror games. Thanks, Doug, for having me on the show. You can listen to that one. I think it's Almost Better Than Silence, episode 257. A spooky one is what it's called. But that's an awesome thing to listen to. Anybody else have any podcast recommendations before I get to social media, boys? Podcast recommends anything? No. Anybody been nothing good shows? Happening?
I'm always a big fan of Reply All.
Oh yeah. Reply All. We love you guys. PJ Vogue or whatever.
PJ Vogue. Yeah, yeah. Goldman.
Speaking of things that sound like the word vote, fucking vote, guys. Vote, vote. Damn it, vote, vote.
What are you doing? Go vote.
Vote now. You can do it. Or if you do it on November 6th, go. Be sure to look up your local polling place. It's not a joke. Go. God damn it. Go vote. If you want to talk to us, do it after you vote. You can find us on Twitter at SuperGameCast64. If you want to talk to me on Twitter, it's at SGC64 Matt.
I'm at GingerBeard_man, beer like the beverage.
I'm at...
Tyler's at Teacher Malio, but
I'm at Teacher Malio. Okay.
Look. You don't understand how good this short story spooky reader is. It's the guy who reads it too. Fantastic.
Oh my god, it's so good.
I want you guys, if you're done with this, just find that. Go to the Facebook fan group, which you can find just by typing in SuperGameCast64 on Facebook. I'll try to post it on the Twitter too, maybe Instagram. That wouldn't make sense. But if you want to talk to us on Instagram, at SuperGameCast64, I'm at Amazon_XD. But Tyler, he needs to find this because it's so good. I think I heard it maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and it's every time I think of scary short stories, it's that. It's one of the best pieces of literature, horror literature I've ever listened to, /read. Listen to it. Email sgc64mail@gmail.com if you want to talk to us for any sort of reason. We got some big things coming up in the works, guys, so definitely keep tuned. Coming up next year, I feel like I'm forgetting something, like Instagram. I already said that. Am I forgetting anything socially?
My joke.
Follow us on all the bullshit. It's SuperGameCast64.
I want you guys to actually try to answer this.
Okay,
we end with that. I'd like to tell a short story, if that's okay.
Is this scary?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, no, let's settle in for Tyler's short scary. Tyler, you can lean towards the mic so we maybe get in there real good.
I woke up to hear knocking on the glass. At first, I thought it was the window until I heard it come from the mirror again.
Do you have another one of those? I like those.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the Hemingway thing, baby shoes never worn.
Fuck. That's like two. Give me another one. And then I know you've probably seen one that looks really good. Hold that for the last thing, that and then Kevin will have his joke, and then we'll spooky out of here.
I got one.
Okay, yeah, go.
The voice on the wind had a question that no one could answer. It whispered, "Who did he tell you that to?"
God, why?
I got a spooky one. Boo. thank you. That's what they said when I stood on the stage and told them my life story. Deep, scary, boo. Tyler, hit us with another one of those. We'll do Kevin joke, and then we're out of this bitch. Tyler, you guys spooky? We're doing deep, like, research
okay.
at the moment.
All right.
It's just that article you're looking at has nothing else good. These are those like 2 cent scary stories.
Yeah,
there's some really good ones.
These are my favorite. Like, these are super creepy. Like she asked why I was breathing so heavily. I wasn't.
Spooky. That means someone else is breathing heavily. Joke.
It's like it was scare haiku.
It was me. All right, Kevin, tell us your joke.
All right.
One more after that.
All right, Kevin, joke. Tyler, scary.
You don't want to follow my joke. It's a good one.
Okay, so okay. Tyler, do it, and then we'll end on a happy note.
There's nothing like the laughter of a baby, unless it's 1 a.m. and you're home alone.
And your baby died.
Saw that one coming. All right.
So oh, okay. So I thought that was your joke.
No.
My joke. Saw that one coming. Seen that meme already.
All right. So where do the coolest skeletons go to hang out?
The tree in the backyard.
The coolest skeletons go to hang out.
Yeah.
The ice tree.
Maybe. It doesn't matter, though, as long as it's a hip joint.
Hey!
Awful.
Also, this is Kevin's anniversary.
It was.
Oh yeah. Happy anniversary.
Guys,
Kevin.
I had a great time on this Halloween special. Look how beautiful. You could see this phone sliding across as we show Tyler the picture of Kevin and his lovely, lovely wife Rachel. Guys, thank you so much for joining on the Halloweens. I hope we scared you sufficiently. Boo! I hope we made you think of scary things.
Ah!
I hope you are now ready to enjoy the rest of your Halloween night. Oh, I thanks. That was Kevin. That wasn't my editing.
No, it wasn't. It was a ghost.
Boo! Jesus Christ, we need to end this shit. For real, though.
Bye, Tommy.
Bye, Tommy. Before we go.
It's terrible.
Seriously, look on the Facebook page and listen to that short story. You'll be glad you did. After you immediately regret it because it's horrifying.
Thanks, Bet.
Thanks, fucking skeleton. I'm Bet. This was Super Gamecast 64 episode 1 something. It was this scary.
114.
Okay, 114. So you guys are now around level 14. No, you're level 13. Kevin, you know who you are. You're level like 16, I think. Guys, it doesn't matter. It'll matter next year. More on that later. As always, you've leveled up. All the games are here, and now you are too. I forgot to say at the beginning, imagine a world completely underwater. Have a spooky, scary Christmas. I love you. Guys, did you see that John Denver or whatever? Not John Denver. Who's
the ghost of John Denver.
Yeah, he put out his Christmas album already. I don't know. I just saw that on Twitter.
John Legend?
Yes. I was like, fuck you, don't do that.
Interesting.
All right, love you guys. Bye.